lesson number 5, Tempted as We Are. Temptation is not sin. There is a problem sometimes in discussions of theology with the statement like, God did tempt Abraham. And then, God doesn't tempt anyone, James tells us. The word tempt can mean test. When God tests or tempts, it is in order to get man to do what is right. When Satan tempts or tests, it is to get man to do what is wrong. God's tests are challenges to attain higher ideals. Satan's tests, temptations, are traps in order to get man to fall. We have a high priest, Paul maintains in Hebrews, who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I've often used this illustration. I have my set of temptations and you have yours. How would you like to share mine for 24 hours. Then when I look at a class or a large congregation, 1,000, 2,000 people, all with their own set of temptations, how would we like to have all the temptations of everyone, for example, in the city of Manila for one day? Do you think we could survive it? And Jesus Christ had to bear the temptation of every man in every age in himself. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Temptations from Satan try to find a chink in the armor, some opening through which he can come. Now, James talks about every man being tempted, led away by his own lust. Now, this word, epithumia, means that which comes to the surface when the dregs and the dredges are stirred up. What comes to the surface? And James suggests that every man has his own mud somewhere down below the tranquil waters waiting to be stirred up with its noxious gases coming bubbling to the surface. Now Satan tries to stir up man in the areas that he is temptable. I think if you analyzed your own life, there were some areas in which you are not temptable. Smoking is not the slightest temptation for me to smoke. As I have said, it's a temptation for me to commit mayhem. I think somebody who smokes in my face ought to be clubbed with a baseball bat. So I need control in another area. When somebody smokes, thou shalt not kill, is the law that I must overcome. I talked to a friend of mine one time and asked him, he hadn't smoked for 30 years. I said, are you ever tempted? Yes, he says, I am. Sometimes when I get a whiff of a cigarette, I want to take that cigarette out of the person's mouth and take one long drag. But I say, Lord, keep me from falling. See, he's got a temptation on that end, I've got a temptation on another end. And Jesus Christ was tempted in all points. Now he had a body that was fitted for him. Hebrews chapter 10, a body hast thou fitted me, the margin says, tailor-made, so that it might be tempted in all points, yet without sin. Because he maintained a complete union with the Father, because his self-emptying was so spirit-infused, so spirit-filled, that when the prince of this world came, he could find no point at which he could assail Jesus Christ. Part number 2. No greater temptation than Jesus endured. Nobody in any age is going to tell the Father, I had a temptation more severe than your son did. Nobody will be able to do that. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Now his greatest temptation was subduing his divinity. He could do anything. But he had agreed to do nothing that the Father had told him. He could call for 12 legions of angels any time, or 144,000 legions of angels. But if the Father didn't bid him, he had to submit. Moreover, he was much more sensitive. Our senses are dulled and blunted by all the effects of sin. So we feel guilt, we feel remorse, we sympathize with sinners in their terrible state as far as we are able. But Christ's sensitivity made his meeting the temptations far more severe than ours could ever be. Jesus had the choice any moment he wished to step out of humanity back into his Father's throne. I never have that temptation. Jesus did. He could have done it any moment. He had to keep himself in check through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit. Tempted as we are, part number three, as a boy. When he was a young child, the shepherds found the babe lying in a manger. The wise men, some months later, found the child lying in a manger. It would have been very difficult for Joseph and Mary to take the babe to Egypt, but Providence slowed the journey of the wise men who saw the star that was the cloud of angels singing at the birth of Christ and followed the star from the east. The journey was delayed so that the babe could become a young child strong enough to travel to Egypt, financed by the gifts of the wise men. But what did Herod do? Herod was ready to slay him. Was only prevented from slaying him by the dream which God gave Joseph and the journey into Egypt. Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters that were the children of Joseph by his first marriage. They were older than Jesus Christ. They resented Christ's presence. They persecuted him, ridiculed him. We are told that Christ would slip away and sing a hymn and never allow this kind of teasing, persecution, jibing to ruffle his feelings. He grew up in Nazareth, proverbial for sin. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? The wickedness there never touched him. As a little boy, Jesus Christ grew up perfect. Divinity, combining with his humanity, gave him the victory. Part number four, tempted as we are in the wilderness. I don't think so. I have never had to fast for 40 days and not drink. No food, no drink for 40 days. But Christ deliberately allowed himself to become emaciated. No water, no food. Almost hallucinating. Then in his semi-delirium, a being in matchless splendor, white garment, announces himself the Son of God and accuses Christ of being the angel fallen. Christ is the Son of God. You really think so? If you are, why don't you do this, that, or the other thing? If. Trying to cause doubt. Trying to make Christ take up a challenge to prove he were God. He didn't have to do that. There was nothing of deity that he hadn't already relinquished. Why did he want to take it up again? Why did he want to make stones into bread? He was going to make 5 barley loaves to feed a great multitude. All in God's good time. But this was not the time. This was the time he had to keep himself in. This was the time that he had to bear the temptations and the ridicule and the snide remarks of the adversary. And so Satan's temptations failed because he trusted in the Word of God and Jesus trusted in the Father. Adam and Eve had not trusted God's Word. Has God said? we wonder whether he did say. Let's try it and see. Let's eat and see whether we will die. Second Adam, no, it is written. Get thee behind me. Man doesn't live by bread. He lives by the word of God. And so Christ, 4,000 years of the weakness of heredity, with a body specially made temptable so that all the temptations of all men in every age might converge within his soul, tempted by Satan personally when he was emaciated and dehydrated and almost hallucinating, demonstrated that the power of the Spirit, his trust in God, his reliance upon the Word, would make him more than conqueror. Tempted as we are, part number 5 in Gethsemane. Now here too is a temptation far beyond mine. I don't think that this applied to me, or the next one on Calvary. These were temptations much greater than I have had to bear. Having prepared the disciples for the ordeal, having prayed his high priestly prayer of John 17, Jesus Christ moved into the gloom and separation of the Garden of Gethsemane and on up to old Skullface. Let this cup pass from me. Sometime, why don't you take a concordance and look at the word cup. The cup of the wicked, they will drink to the dregs. The cup of sinfulness, the cup of rebellion, the cup of Babylon. This is my cup. My cup, filled with the things that the Father wants me to drink. Jesus cried out, let it pass, let it pass, but thy will. There, bleeding, dying, Jesus Christ fell to the ground. This temptation is more terrible than we can imagine. He is now in the position of the sinner. He is now in the position of the sin offering. His life will end. His separation from God will be complete. I never have to do that. The relationship with the Father and the Son was breaking up. He was the sin bearer. He was enduring the second death. In Christ, I will never have to do that. He was tempted much more than I will ever be tempted. As we think of Christ's temptability, of his temptations, of his preparation for those temptations, by starvation, by choosing a body 4,000 years of heredity bred to be temptable in all points, we see the tremendous risk divine love ran in allowing Jesus Christ in such a body, in such a time, in such a place, to expose himself to Satan's temptations without any advantage that any sinner, any time, might not also have. And as we think of the focus of this lesson, it is on the tremendous victory that in humanity Jesus Christ gained for humanity.